نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا القرآن الحكيم. اللهم آتي أنفسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. About the compiler Maulana Muhammad Taqi Usmani, the compiler of this book is saying, this is some submissions that he is making. He says, Maulana Muhammad Taqi Usmani, Madda Dhillahum, my respected teacher and mentor, he needs no introduction to the Islamic world. Allah has blessed him with a knowledge of the known sciences and the speculative sciences. He is at once a Sheikh of Hadith, Sheikh al-Hadith, and he's also a spiritual guide, a mentor. Like a doctor, like a physician who heals physical complaints, he cures spiritual weaknesses. And there already are hundreds of patients under his treatment for spiritual shortcomings. The month of Ramadan has a special relationship with the reformation of the nafs, or of the inner self. It is for this reason that our great teacher, Mufti Taqi Usmani, has chosen this month of Ramadan to address gatherings on reforming the nafs, or the inner self. It is for many years now that he addresses gatherings on this subject in this month between Dhuhr and Asr prayers. And we'll be doing it after Asr, inshallah. Hundreds of seekers are benefiting from these discourses. This is the first majlis that he had, the first sitting. And in this is the reality of tasawwuf, the haqiqat of tasawwuf. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. مولانا مفتي تقي عثماني says, it has been my practice for many years in the month of Ramadan to recount the sayings of Hakim al-Ummah, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanawi, Rahmatullah Alayh. My aim in recounting them is that we create a desire to reform our nafs, to reform ourselves, and correct our manners. The month of Ramadan is a blessing from Allah, suited especially for this purpose of tazkiyatun nafs. And if we are sincere in our pursuit, we shall attain it very soon, inshallah. Maulana Muhammad Isa Rahmatullah Alayh. So Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani is saying, the book in my hands is Anfasi Isa. It is a brief rendering of the reformative sayings of Maulana Thanwi, Rahmatullah Alayh, of his graded guidance and of his effective prescriptions for the cure of Amradul Qulub, the cure of the ills of the heart, or the ills of the soul, can be said. Maulana's close Khalifa, Maulana Ashraf Ali's close Khalifa, is Maulana Muhammad Isa Rahmatul Alayh. He had compiled this book, Anfas-e-Isa. The number of Khalifas of Maulana Thanwi Alayhi Rahma is great, and each one of his Khalifas derived from him, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, they derive from him light, noor of merit and excellence according to his powers of reception and ability. Every one of them is like the sun and the moon for us, for the characteristics of each distinguish him from the others. Maulana Muhammad Isa Rahmatullah Alayhi was one of the earliest Khalifas of Maulana Thanawi Rahmatullah Alayhi. It is well known about him that he was peerless in his resemblance to the Maulana. In appearance, in dress, in gait, in everything, even in voice. Hence, when he recited Quran, anyone listening to Maulana Isa from a distance could not say confidently who recited, Maulana Thanwi or Maulana Muhammad Isa alayhi marrahma. Given this level of resemblance in the apparent, in the zahir, what would have been the level of merit derived by him in the unseen or spiritual matters? If anyone has a deep love for his shaykh, for his mentor, his spiritual guide, if he is perfectly aligned to him, if he has had a long association with him and has derived excellences from him with rapt concentration, then often he resembles him in the apparent characteristics and in habits too. We also find examples of this in the times of the companions of the Prophet radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Accordingly, we learn from a hadith about Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, kana ashbahan nas bi rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dallan wa samtan wa hadiyan, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, who resembled the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anyone else in his behavior and style, sitting and getting up, walk and movement, dress and appearance. Thus, people looked at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to cool their eyes, just as they had cooled them when they glanced at the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the case of the companions radiallahu anhum and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is of course quite distinct and unparalleled. However, we do find examples of that in the Ummah now and then. One of those is the example of Maulana Muhammad Isa alayhi rahma and his Sheikh Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi. If anyone resembles his Sheikh, his mentor, outwardly, in this way, then it can be concluded that he has adapted himself to receive his temperament, knowledge, and excellences too, and integrated them fully into himself. Anfas-e-Isa. In short, Maulana Muhammad Isa has included in Anfas-e-Isa a summary of what he heard and learnt from Maulana Thanwi during his long suhbah and association with him. This book is not like other collections of the sayings of Maulana Thanwi alayhi rahma. In those collections, we will find his sayings on a single topic, followed by sayings on a second subject, followed by a third issue. Writers compile books in this form. Maulana Muhammad Isa's book, however, is different in its treatment of the subject. In fact, he first digested, Maulana Muhammad Isa first digested Maulana's teachings on Tasawwuf and Tariqa, which is the mystic path and the path in search of inner reality which so many of us are deprived of unfortunately, especially in the West. Then he, Maulana Isa, wrote down a gist of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi's teachings on these subjects, mostly using Maulana's own words. In this way, this book offers us a summary of these teachings and is a blessing for us in its unique way. So then what's the whole purpose of Tasawwuf? The basic aim of Tasawwuf and Suluk, it can be called in different ways, different names. Tasawwuf, Tariqa. Suluk, Ihsan, are different names conveying the same sense. The basic aim, objective, goal of Tasawwuf is not simply zikr, that a person does zikr. So that some people are under the impression that dhikr is the sole aim of Tasawwuf. No. They imagine that when they offer bay'ah to a sheikh and they take bay'at with a sheikh, he will teach them the wazayif, a rota, religious exercises, inclusive of du'as, zikr, etc. There are some people who take Tasawwuf to embrace certain practices and spiritual healing, which they expect a sheikh would prescribe for them, together with amulets. We must understand it well that Tasawwuf has nothing to do with these things. We must also know that even dhikr is not the real objective of Tasawwuf, though it is a means to the real objective. Of course, zikr is a means to the real objective, but it is not the real objective. But it is a means to the real objective. Because sometimes we get hooked up on the zikr and we even forget the madhkur. We get hooked up on the zikr and we forget whom we are even remembering. There are some people again who suppose that Tasawwuf calls upon them to seclude themselves in meditation, muraqabah, to shut themselves up for 40 days, or to engage in extraordinary effort. All these things are not the real objective of Tasawwuf, but different means and parts to it. So then what then is the real objective of Tasawwuf? It is what is pointed out in this verse of the Quran. The real objective is what is pointed out in this verse of the Holy Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Indeed, prosperous is he who purifies it, his nafs, his soul, his inner self. This is what Allah has mentioned. So therefore, this is what we should be striving for, to purify this nafs, purify this inner self. If we want to excel, we want to go forward and we want to go higher in the spiritual world, then we have to purify the nafs, meaning of course purification of the ruh also too, purification of the soul. Tathirun nafs war ruh. This is what Allah has mentioned while describing the objective of the Prophet's mission, the mission of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did Allah say about his mission? وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And he, the Prophet, shall teach them the Kitab, the book, the Holy Quran, وَالْحِكْمَةَ. He shall teach them the wisdom, the hikmah. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And he shall purify them. He shall purify them, their inner selves, from the inner diseases. This verse names teaching of the book, Ta'lim al-Kitab, and Hikmat, wisdom, as aims of his mission. And then this verse mentions purifying as distinct from them. Tazkiyah is literally to purify, to clean. Its technical meaning in Sharia is explained thus. There are certain apparent deeds. There are certain apparent deeds which Allah has prescribed or forbidden. So we have the lagwi meaning of tazkiyah, which is to purify, zakka yuzakki. And the technical meaning in Sharia is explained as follows. There are certain apparent deeds which Allah has prescribed or forbidden, like salah, Sawm and fasting, zakah, hajj, which are known as the awamir, and do not lie, backbite, consume wine, steal or plunder, which are known as the nawahi, the prohibitions, that is respectively the do's and the don'ts of Islam. In the same way, certain characteristics pertain to man's inner self or his heart. Those that are desirable, the awamir, it is wajib to develop them. Wajib to develop them. Otherwise, one cannot discharge one's fara'is and obligations. There are also the characteristics that are also the characteristics that are undesirable, and it is also wajib, essential, to abandon them, and they are the nawahi, the prohibitions. Thus, it is wajib to be grateful for the blessings of Allah, wajib to show thanks for the blessings of Allah. It is wajib to show patience when faced with difficulty. It is wajib to place reliance and tawakkul upon Allah. It is wajib to be humble and observe humility. It is wajib to be sincere and seek the pleasure of Allah in all one does. For no deed meets approval. No deed meets approval. If it lacks sincerity, forget it. Thus, gratitude, shukr, patience, sabr, tawakkul, humility, tawadhu, ikhlas, sincerity are the fadha'il, the meritorious characteristics, or you may call it akhlaqi fadila, excellent manners, developing which is wajib. It is wajib to develop these qualities. There are also certain evil qualities in one's inner self which are haram, unlawful, and one must shun them. They are known as the radha'il, the worthless, or akhlaqi radhila, the vile manners, meaning the low and base qualities. If these characteristics are found in the inner self, they are destroyed and eradicated, so that they do not lead man to sin. They have to be destroyed and eradicated. Examples of these qualities are arrogance, takabbur, which is to think highly of oneself, jealousy, hasad, ostentation, riya, which is to do a pious deed to show off to the creatures, not to please Allah. Arrogance, jealousy, hatred, ostentation, riya, and impatience. impatience, are unlawful and haram qualities. The last named, impatience, implies displeasure. On divine decree, displeasure on divine decree, and to complain against it. And this is so deep, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua, used to pray, Allahumma arudina bi qadha'ik. O Allah, make us happy with what you have destined. Make us happy with your divine decree, taqdeer and destiny. Allahumma arudina bi qadha'ik. وَبَارِكْ لَنَا فِي مَا قُدِّرَ لَنَا. And give us barakat and blessings in what has been destined and written down for us. We don't know. We don't know what's destined for us. We don't know what tomorrow has in store for us. You are the muqaddir, but give us barakat in what has been destined for us and make us happy with your decree and with destiny. But sometimes, you know, sometimes people have a wrong impression about Allah's divine decree. And sometimes they just sit down, don't make no effort, and they say, oh, well, whatever is going to be, is going to be. It is already written. It is already written. Yeah, it's already written that you're going to be lazy and you're not going to do nothing. You're going to sit down and you're going to say that. Yeah, that's written. What we have to do is, asayu minna, the golden rule, asayu minna wal itma min Allah. Effort from us and completion from Allah. So this is also haram to be displeased and you're not happy with Allah's decree, Allah's qadha, and to complain and complain against it. Anger is also one of these qualities. If used at the wrong time, otherwise if anger is used in the right time, it's right, it's good. Al-hubbu lillah wal-bughdhu lillah is part of iman. Love for Allah and hatred for the sake of Allah. In short, there are many fadail, meritorious qualities in the inner self. They are there. Subhanallah. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Ponder on the verse. They are there. Allah has already inspired it, put it. We just need to develop it. Man has a conscience. The soul has that ability. The nafs has that ability to know what is right from wrong. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. There are many fadail in the inner self. Good meritorious qualities, the ilham of its taqwa, which it is necessary to develop. And there are many radhail, worthless qualities that must be abandoned. Fujuraha, fujuraha, fa'alhamaha, fujuraha wa taqwaha. The Sufis and the mashayikh treat their disciples and students in such a way that their hearts are filled up with excellent manners and they are purged of the vile manners to the point of near extinction. My dear brothers, my dear listeners, this topic and this field is so important because, you know, we get so caught up in rituals that sometimes we grow old and old and we become old and yet we are still vile. And the nafs is still arrogant. And the nafs is still ammaratum bisu, commanding with evil. Maulana Tanwi, alayhi rahma, described this condition in these words, twisting to the level of discontinuing. Twisting the nafs. To the level of discontinuing. In other words, the revile, the bad, evil, low, worthless qualities in the inner self should be crushed to such an extent that although they are not altogether removed, they become as if they are not there. In short, tasawwuf, therefore, means to crush vile manners and to develop excellent manners. This is the gist of tasawwuf. To crush vile manners and to develop excellent manners. And that is tazkiyah or purification. So the basis of tasawwuf is to achieve tazkiyah. Tazkiyah. And which is really to crush vile manners and to develop excellent manners. The need for a sheikh. Often, however, this attitude is not achieved without associating with a sheikh. That is why when pious people come and the mashayikh come, we must be connected to them. I must not stay away and think, you know what, I could do it by myself. I could do it by myself. This is because لِكُلِّ فَنِّن رِجَالٌ لِكُلِّ فَنِّن رِجَالٌ. There are men for every art, which means that one has to go to a master to learn. Go to a master to learn. If, for example, it's a question of fiqh, we have to approach a mufti who knows the answers. However, it is difficult to study the condition of the inner self and to recognize the malady within anyone. The hidden weaknesses are very imperceptible and fine. Something may be very good and another very bad, but it is very difficult to distinguish between them. For example, arrogance, takabbur, is an unlawful trait, and it is wajib to shun arrogance and pride because it is the root cause of all maladies. But you know what? There is another quality called self-respect. So what's the line between arrogance and self-respect? It is wajib to develop this quality of self-respect. And it is not proper to debase oneself. However, the line dividing the frontiers must be determined at which self-respect ends, at which self-respect ends and arrogance begins. One must ask oneself that if that which one does is out of pride, takabbur, or a measure of self-respect. It is not possible for everyone to determine the dividing line, and especially a man cannot detect maladies within himself easily. For instance, egoism is a great ill. A man brags about himself. He brags about himself. This is haram. On the other side, there is something called tahdithu ni'matin, that is describing blessings on oneself, proclaiming the blessings on oneself. This is mentioned in the Holy Quran when Allah says, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And as for the blessings of your Lord, proclaim it. So it is not easy for everyone to say confidently whether he behaves egotistically or proclaims the blessings of Allah. Is he behaving arrogantly and egotistically, or is he doing tahdithu ni'mah, proclaiming the blessings of Allah, a fine dividing line? Just quickly until we come to the end of this majlis. Otherwise, if we just stop here, we're going to be hung up. An episode with Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayh. My Sheikh, Dr. Abdul Hay Rahmatullah Alayh said that once Maulana Shafali Tanwi Alayh Rahma delivered a sermon, a khutbah from the minbar of a masjid in Delhi. A large number of people were listening to Maulana. In the course of the sermon, Maulana Tanwi Alayh Rahma said, "Today I will tell you something and you will hear it only from me, from no one else." And I tell you this by way of proclaiming Allah's blessings. Allah has inspired me alone with this knowledge. For a moment, after saying that, he kept quiet before repeating Astaghfirullah 3 times. What have I said? That you will hear it from me alone and no one else? This claim is egoism. And I have tried to declare my superiority, but presented it as a confession of blessings, as tahdithu ni'mat. I seek forgiveness of Allah for that. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. First of all, I drew an inflated picture of myself, and then I tried to conceal it behind the curtain of tahdithu ni'mat, proclamations of blessings. No. The procedure is tawbatu sir bisir wal alaniyati bil alaniya. Repentance for a concealed crime is done in secret, but for an open sin in public, and because I have committed this sin in public, I repent for it in public. I have committed a mistake and I seek Allah's forgiveness for it. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. He did that right while he was delivering the khutbah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Talwi, in Delhi on the minbar. Can anyone do like that? Only he can do it who has effaced himself, given himself up, who recognizes the imperceptible ways of the soul, and who keeps a supervising eye over his soul and his nafs. As you have seen, it is very difficult to distinguish between egoism, nafsaniyat, and tahdisi ni'ma, confession of the blessings of Allah. And not everyone can distinguish between the two. Humbleness is another example, humility and self-abasement. In the same way, humbleness is a praiseworthy trait. Another trait is self-abasement or servility. It is to debase oneself in public, and it is forbidden and haram to debase oneself in public. Allah has made it wajib to respect one's own self. We must not debase it. However, it is not possible for everyone to demarcate the line between humility and self-abasement. An episode. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has stressed upon the need to determine the dividing line through another example. Once Maulana was traveling in a train with a few villagers, and a few villagers were in the same compartment as he. When it was time for the meal, they opened their lunch boxes and invited Maulana to share their meal in such words as compared it to excrement. Their comparison was by way of describing their food as simple and ordinary, an expression of humility. You know what? In fact, it amounted to belittling the provision of Allah. Hence, it was not an expression of humility, but ingratitude for Allah's blessing and a disrespect. Sometimes, however, humility borders on self abnegation, and sometimes it touches the frontiers of ingratitude. Sometimes humility touches the frontiers of ingratitude. Only a sheikh can help his disciple discern the difference between these frontiers. Not everyone can do it by himself. This wisdom cannot be had by simply reading books and definitions of these terms. It is only through practical training that one learns to discern. If a disciple watches his sheikh, his mentor, regularly, paying attention to his conduct and describing to him his own condition and following his guidance, then he can learn to decide whether to pursue a course of action or to forego it. I explain it usually by the example of a rose flower and the jasmine. We may ask philosophers, orators, poets, or literators to describe to us the difference in smell of the rose and the jasmine. Tell us the difference. Define each smell. You know what? All these philosophers, orators, and poets will not be able to do it. There's only one way to know it, and that is to ask the seeker to experience it himself by smelling the two flowers. When he smells them, he will know the difference. We can cite another example of the sweetness of a mango and a lump of sugar. Both are sweet, but how does one define each sweetness? It is not possible for anyone to do that in words, and there's only one way to distinguish the nature of each. One must eat the two things and know for himself what the difference is. In the same way, it is not easy to define the inner excellences of man. For instance, humbleness is difficult to describe. But if one meets a humble person and observes his conduct and stays in his company for some time, then that characteristic of humility, he will understand it and it will grow and grow in him. Hence, it is necessary to turn to a sheikh, a mentor, a guide, and live in his company and suhbat, to know about tasawwuf and suluk. These things cannot grow in anyone by merely talking about them. It is only by attending the company, suhbat, kunu ma'as sadiqeen, kunu ma'as sadiqeen, and giving one's time to someone that Allah helps one get these things. However, it is not farz, it is not obligatory to offer bayat to a sheikh. It's not farz of placing one's hand upon the sheikh's hands. No, it's not farz. But you know what? To reform and to mend one's ways is nevertheless wajib and farz. It is when one turns to his sheikh to reform oneself that the real objective of his turning to him, which is to receive the excellences and to ward off the unworthy characteristics, the radhail, may be crushed and one may have control over them. This then is the true purpose of suluk and tasawwuf. Nevertheless, the azkar, the formulas of zikr, and the duas are also very helpful to the seeker. Only through the guidance of a sheikh can the rota of azkar, supplications, and other repetitions be prescribed for every individual according to the sheikh's opinion of his condition. The prescription would suggest time, what, and how much. Only then can one benefit from reformation. By themselves, the azkar, the supplication and repetitions are not the objective, for the basic aim is tazkiyah, reformation of one's manners and purification of the self. One must keep the sheikh posted of one's condition and seek his guidance, being careful to observe them. One must do that all his life, for the aim of turning to the sheikh is simply this much. Maulana Muhammad Isa Rahmatullah Alayhi has collected in this book, Anfasi Isa, the sayings concerning the radhail, the worthless qualities, and the sayings concerning the fadail, the beautiful qualities. We will read them out and I will explain them briefly. May Allah enable us to understand them and to correct ourselves through these sayings. Ameen. And this is the end of the first sitting. Tomorrow, the second sitting, the second majlis, inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.